What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 29 of Valuetown. I'm your host, Jamman V. Joining me today is Mr. Trump here, as always. What's up, Trump?
Holla.
Holla. Holla if you hear him. And then we got a first-time guest. He's actually in Korea right now, so that's why we don't have a webcam going here. But it's KitKats, who recently joined Team Curse, or Curse Gaming. What's going on, KitKats?
Much man, what up, son?
Yeah. So lots to talk about today, guys. So a new Warrior card got announced, I guess, what, an hour ago or something? Maybe a couple hours ago? I didn't even know that was going to be happening today. So we'll definitely be talking about that. We'll talk about the Unleash the Hounds nerf. We'll talk about you joining Curse, just the whole team situation. And then we'll follow it up with talking about your Warrior deck, the Warrior deck that you've been making famous recently. And it's been owning the ladder, and actually helped me own some ladder last season, too. Should be some good stuff. And then at the end, guys, we'll be taking some questions from you, the viewers, as always. Post them in the Reddit thread right here. Going to be linking it. And we'll take the most popular ones. So upvote the questions that you like, and also post your own questions so that we can try to get to it. But okay, let's kick things off by talking about your team situation, KitKats. So congrats on joining Curse Gaming. You and Dark Wonix, I think, recently joined Curse. And talk to me about leaving Clarity and joining Curse and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, leaving Clarity was like really hard for me at first because so many of my friends were on it, and like I'd really developed a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. We've been through so much, but after meeting Dark in Berlin for ESGN Fight Night, like we like really developed the connection. In that we really respect each other's play. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like sowed the seeds of what would eventually become like the selling point of Curse, is like just the skill of the players that they were like after and eventually mm-hmm. signed, with Savages being like the most incredible, actually I was about to say something that I shouldn't have, the most incredible player in Europe, and then Dark being obviously one of the top two or three, and then Alchemist, top North American talent, who's actually like been my practice partner since the beginning of our show, man. Like he helped me set up, like prepare for my very first ever show match, first month. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved playing with him and respected his display.
Yeah, really powerful lineup you guys are building there. And I wasn't sure that they were going to be building it so fast, but what happened there actually? I think Skype just kind of went nuts there. Give me a second, guys. Let's get this going again. Be right back, guys. Skype just died there. All right, guys, we're back. Sorry about that. Skype just kind of went a little nuts on me, so we're back. But KitKat, you were talking about, I guess the team, and I was just mentioning that it's a really strong lineup. I mean, four guys that wasn't expecting Curse to actually build the team so quickly, but I guess within, about 3 months now, we're up to four players?
Yeah, it was actually really quickly. I was very surprised. I know they said they're after, two North American players and two EU players, and when I heard mm-hmm. that, I kind of was just really attracted because once they get Alchemist, who is one of the top three players in North America, where do you go from there? And because all the other North American players are really signed to teams and stuff like that, so there weren't many left to choose from.
right. So what happened to Clarity? I mean, does Clarity still have a team?
Maybe I don't know. I know a lot of the players have left or. Mm-hmm. Are about to leave because there was just kind of the team owner. I think he had a lot of family issues come up, and so he really had to focus on that.
I see.
He just didn't have as much time to devote to the team.
Gotcha.
And okay. I mean, he did everything he promised for us. For White, the contract that we signed and all that stuff.
Yeah, got it.
But then, life issues come up. We have to understand that.
Yeah, it happens. That happens a lot of times. But cool. I look forward to seeing you guys. I mean, I'm sure we'll see some team events start popping up here in the near future. So, Curse is going to be strong. Trump, what do you think? Think of the Curse lineup, man.
It's monstrous.
Isn't it? Oh, my God. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm really happy that Kit Kat's found a team. I like the guy a lot, and he's joined a great team.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, why don't we move on to... let's talk about the... Before we get to that, I guess the new warrior card. Why don't we talk about the Unleash the Hounds nerf? So Blizzard announced that they're going to be upping the mana cost to three mana, which I think a lot of people had suggested over the last few months, since even when it was changed to two mana after that one patch. What do you guys think of this change? Do you think? I think we all agree. I think when we talked to Ben Brody, we felt like it was very prominent. At least the hunters were so prominent that we wanted to check to see if they were taking a look at this, and they were. But what do you guys think of this change? Is it going to fix hunters, or is there going to be a lot less hunters on the ladder? Trump, what do you think?
Yeah, there will probably be less hunters on the ladder. A lot of these changes see... whenever things get changed, there's a huge amount of pullback at first, and then eventually things slide back in. I think this is one of those changes which is significant, but probably won't kill the hunter class, mm-hmm. and I think it'll still be competitive, but that is a big change, and it will really... I think it'll really improve a lot of matchups against the hunter.
KitKat, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I overall agree with Trump that it'll help a lot of matchups because it really, really relied on having Buzzard Unleash against a lot of the aggro decks, aggro warlock, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so adding that extra turn, but also that one more mana can deny future turns with the Timberwolf, giving you the plus one damage to everything. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty huge, but I also think it's really an overreaction. I think Blizzard's been doing this a lot recently. If you look back to StarCraft, it took so long for them to actually change and nerf certain classes, and they just let the scene solve it on its own. Mm-hmm. And that's really what happened. Most recently you saw, not Sergio, both my warrior and also Miracle Rogue, which actually destroyed Midrange Hunter. So it's did we really need this to solve the problem? Or was it already solved?
Yeah, I think that's a good statement too. And a little bit surprising too, because Ben didn't make it sound like they were going to change this, at least until the Nox cards came out and just have the whole metagame kind of be thrown up, just jumbled up again, whenever all those new cards came out. So I think this is a little bit surprising. I don't know, a lot of people seem to be happy about it. But
add on the Kits Cats. Last week I said that I sensed the winds changing.
Yeah,
my hunters were both going to diminish, and they have. Mostly because that's part of the greatness of a card game. It sort of self-corrects because you can always have decks that counter them. It's a soft counter, but it's favored nonetheless. Still, though, I think it's a good change just because it will raise a few classes to be more viable, like Shaman and Paladin, those two poor classes.
Yeah. I'm already starting to see a little bit more Shaman on the the ladder, at least my experience with it, so definitely would be good. Any particular situations you think are just gone? Like, you know, because we can just generally talk about just UTH, but any particular scenarios that have been, like, crazy strong for the Unleash combo that you think are going to be much, much less prevalent now? Kit Kats? Anything? Like,
not really. I mean, like, it like stops kind of like a full combo Leroy Unleash Timberwolf Hero Power, I guess, or something like that. But it's like,
yeah, in turn 10 or something.
Oh god, I just did math on a fucking stream. I hope I counted correctly. But scenarios such as that, you know?
Yeah, gotcha. Definitely delays any kind of buzzard, early kind of play with the buzzard. And I mean, you turn 5 normally. I think a lot of people play buzzard and UTH and a wolf to get some nice trades and card draw. So
yeah, that's really the most important part, is just stopping the early game dominance of that combo.
Yeah, gotcha.
And it's also a big deal that they can't do the buzzard or the hyena and then the unleash on turn 4. Mm-hmm. It just slows them down a turn in certain circumstances where that's really good, like against Zoo, for example.
Right. Okay, yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. We'll see what happens. Trump is like a prophet. All right, I mean, you must have even known about this change, too, to say that Hunters are going to be gone from, or at least be changing from the metagame, so.
Yeah, I actually didn't know this change would come in, and it was already happening before this nerf was announced.
Yeah.
But still, even if, like, a card can be countered, sometimes removing it just because it's quote-unquote bad for the game,
yeah,
like, would be reasonable.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right, so what do you think in general of them just changing existing cards? Because I think there's been some talk about, I don't know, just a lot of pushback on them, just the community not wanting them to change existing cards and adjust by making new cards. Thoughts on just that philosophy, I guess, KitKats?
I mean, that's it's a tough question. I mean, it's really difficult to make new cards rather than just, like, change existing ones. Like, slight modifications aren't as, like, game or meta-changing. Mm-hmm. Compared to, like, a completely new game-changing card, obviously. But, right. I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to say. I don't really know much about game design. And that's really not my area of expertise.
Okay. Trump, thoughts on just changing existing cards?
I mean, they're definitely keeping changing existing cards to a minimum. Like, over the last, what, 2, 3... I don't know when the last time it was, but it feels like a long time. They've changed one card. And that feels like the only card that they're going to change. Like, it's been... The last cards changed before this was Pagel and Tinkmaster, right?
Yep.
All right, yeah, so it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And I doubt that... I get the feeling that no card is going to get... Well, I should say maybe Gadgetzan Auctioneer. But I get the feeling that not many cards will get changed. Mm-hmm. And let's see... Yeah, they're just generally going to switch up the metagame by adding new cards. And I think that's a good philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, I think correcting cards, I think having the ability, or having the leeway, or having the community accept the fact that cards will be changed is a good thing. I mean, if something's broken, we should fix it, right? Regardless of adding it or just changing the existing text or stats or whatever. So, I don't know. I'm definitely not that against them changing existing cards. Okay, let's move on, guys, to the new Warrior card, which was announced, again, just about a couple hours ago. And for those of you who haven't seen it yet, let me show it to you guys. It's the number one thing on Reddit right now in the Hearthstone.
Wow, so shiny and new.
So shiny and new. Here we go. Okay, let me bring it up here. Oops. And there it is. It's called Death's Bite. And it's a warrior. It's a warrior class card, and it's, you can just see the stats right here. I mean, Death Rattle 1 damage to all minions, so it's basically a whirlwind after it dies. First thoughts on this card, Kit Kats, Mr. Warrior here.
I think it's a really interesting card. Like, it gives something that warriors didn't really have before, which is an answer to things like Chilean Yeti or the 5 toughness guys. Mm-hmm. But that also, like, can proc other things. Like, for example, you can actually set up turns ahead of time where you, like, you place the weapon, hit something the first turn, the next turn you drop, like, Acolyte and Armorsmith, and then, like, you gain so much tempo from the double weapon, but also, like, the card draw and the armor and stuff like that. Like, it's so synergistic with all the warrior cards. But also, like, you can set up really sick late game cards, like, on turn 8, play the weapon, turn 9, Alex draws them. Then your turn 10 is Gromash, break the second charge of the weapon, and it just whirlwinds everything. Then you can, like, execute and shield slam, something like that. Like, you can clear so much. And it just, like, opens up a lot of opportunities for you to where, like, maybe Cruel Taskmaster isn't even really necessary anymore because of the card.
Yeah. Trump, what are your first thoughts on this?
Well, my first thoughts are this is a fair card. Mm-hmm. So I've got the 2-mana weapon, Fiery War Axe. I've got the 5-mana weapon, the Arcanine Reaper, and this one's just in the middle. It's got the extra synergy, like, Whirlwind happens to be surprisingly good for Warrior, and it's a good, elegant design. It seems pretty much as fair as you can get, while still being somewhat cool.
Yeah, it's a... Man, can you imagine how many weapons can a warrior have now? If they were to make an arms, if they were to make an arms warrior, they can have what, 7 weapons now? Wow, that'd be crazy if somebody could make that.
Shots ready, man. Raynad's gonna bust this one out, dude.
Exactly right.
We have to rename it instead of to like fucking weapon warrior or something. I don't even know. But it's, like, really cool because it deals with all the things that were really difficult to deal with before. Like, like Harvest Golem was a really annoying card for Warrior because it just takes so much to get rid of it. And, I mean, it's just... Is it everything that
it needs? I don't know if it'll answer it.
Yeah, it, like, depends on when the damage comes out, right?
You don't... I mean, by turn 4, like, you've already used one charge, right? I mean, on turn 4, you use the first charge.
But I should say that if you kill Harvest Golem with it, it won't kill the damaged golem. But that's pretty much all I'm saying.
Yeah, he's just, you know, which death rattle happens first type of thing, right? Or
Yeah,
similar to the situation where if you run a Harvest Golem into an Abomination, then the Abomination doesn't blow up the damaged golem.
Yeah. So,
yeah, the second charge, but first charge is the...
Yeah, for sure.
It's a cool one.
That'll be, of course, I think a lot of people will be experimenting with those different situations. But yeah, I mean, it fixes a lot of situations for the warrior. Even Karen, Karen's always been a problematic minion against the warrior, too. And this at least removes one of the, just Karen or Bane, whichever one you want to use it for. So definitely really good. How does it measure up against the Druid and the Paladin class card so far, you guys think? Trump?
Okay, well, this card is more of an all-around good card. You could just toss one of the copies into your Control Warrior deck right now, and it just pretty much be an overall good card. Unlike the Druid card, which is specifically anti-big card, and the Paladin card, which is specifically put it into a rushy Paladin deck. In particular, I think this card will be quite strong in Arena, pretty much always. Although I still think Fiery War Axe is better, for what it's worth, in Arena.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was excellent analysis by Trump. I can't really add anything to that.
Okay, yeah, so anyways, really excited to see how this card's going to be working out in the meta. And we still have, what, 6 more cards? 6 more class cards, I guess, they'll be announcing in the next, I'm guessing, maybe 6 weeks? So maybe 6 weeks until the launch of... Nox. That's my guess. I'm just guessing just based on how they're releasing these. So really excited to see what the rest of them are going to be. All right, let's move on to some more warrior talk. And let's talk about your warrior deck, Kit Kats.
It's, this is the kind of stuff that I love. Deck building, like changing and adjusting current decks to the changes in the meta. And this is really what this deck was all about when I designed it. Like, these have the Corcoran Elites and the Azure Drakes, which are what were not really in Warrior before. The Corcoran Elites give you a lot of early game pressure, but also can trade up. Not trade up, actually trade down really well. They're like, they'll take out a River Crocolisk or even an Animal Companion, but these were cards that were like kind of difficult to deal with because you lost too much to kill them before. Like, if you use the weapon too early, then you're not going to have the enough charges to deal with the Svanaheim tokens or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Azure Drake just gives you card draw. It just gives you another 5 drop that wasn't so... specific. Like, before we had Harrison Jones and Manipulator, you know? Yeah. Like, it's all dependent upon what your opponent really has. But Azure Drake, you can always drop it on turn 5 and it gives you board presence, and they almost always have to kill it. And so that's the basis of the deck. Nothing else really changed except the one Armorsmith. And that was really an adjustment to Midrange Hunter because Armorsmith is, like, a really useless card for some. Mm-hmm. And you just don't ever want to. Like, when... What ends up happening is, like, they have stampeding code of times two, right? And it like crushes you if you just give them the opportunity to play it, because it's so hard to deal with a five toughness guy.
Yeah.
And because like if they turn five that and then they turn six to Benjaime, right? It's way too much for Ward to deal with. So what you end up doing is basically just sandbagging, and, like holding all these like one power guys in your hand, like Acolytes and Armsmiths. And you save them until later to where you can whirlwind or taskmaster them, not get blown out by the stampeding Kodo. And basically you just force them to either not get value off the Kodo or play a high main onto an empty board.
Right.
Which is not very difficult to deal with anymore because of the cleave and stuff like that.
So these adjustments were purely based on that matchup. The mid matchup. Okay. And has it affected any of the other matchups negatively that you found?
The first iteration of it, where I didn't have Brawl, made it really difficult to beat Handlock. But Handlock was just non-existent in the metagame at all, so it really didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I re-added Brawl recently because of an upsurgence in Handlock, and also because I was just looking for like another way to kind of give me some kind of possibility of beating Miracle Rogue, because Miracle Rogue is the absolute worst matchup for this build. Because you can't really crush them without the Froglings. So what I've been doing is kind of bringing some of the Froglings back in, like trying one of a Frothing, I brought the Harrison Jones back too, obviously, for it.
Yeah.
But, that's the main changes. Also, what ended up happening as a result of adding Corcon Elite is that it just crushed the mirror match. Because, you hit them for four, and then they have to deal with this three toughness guy, which is not easy. Like, normally that's the War Axe, right? But then you're taking eight from it, which is just a lot of damage that other warriors really aren't prepared for. And it also breaks the armor, so you can set up for turns later. Like, so they won't have enough armor to, shield block, slam rag, or whatever.
Yeah, in the mirror, once one person gets a little bit behind where he's got very few armor versus the other guy has a ton of armor, he seems to never recover from that because of shield slam efficiency and all that good stuff. Trump, any questions on... Do you have any observations of this deck that, I don't know, maybe want to ask Kit Kats here?
Well, right now, the way I see it is that Miracle Rogues are like the dominant deck on ladder right now. Do you feel confident bringing this deck into that format, or would you make some more changes?
Yes, I'd absolutely make more changes, because you have to have like Froglings or some way to pressure them early and like get them to waste some of their spells so they don't just always like draw cards and do nothing for 18 million turns while you do nothing, and then eventually they draw Conceal and Auctioneer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to add some kind of aggression, whether it be Froglings or I don't even know what else there is for Warrior. I don't think there is anything else. It's just like a really bad matchup. And that's kind of what happened, though, is that my Warrior deck crushed everything that like beat Miracle Rogue, and then Miracle Rogue just like came in and swept up. So it was like, it was really nice.
That's the metagame adjusting for you. So how often does Brawl end up being used against Gadget Zan for you?
Oh my god, it's like 80% of the time. Let me just tell you guys a little secret, right? Armorsmith never, ever, ever loses Brawl. You just gotta put your faith in that guy. He just always wins, man. Trust.
That's why you had to keep one of them, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff. That's
the essence of Warrior. And,
Out of all the cards remaining, which one is the next one up for cutting? You know, maybe replacing with another card, like Frothing, like you were saying.
That is a good question. Most likely Cleave, because Cleave isn't really that great anymore, because the decks that are dominant in metagame already beat Aggro Lock, right? So that was one of the matchups that you kind of needed it for. And also Sunshine Hunter is getting crushed out of metagame too, so Cleave is kind of losing its purpose, really. And so you'd most likely remove like a Cleave out of Frothing, and that gives you some form of early game, and then if you needed more, you might be able to remove... probably just Brawl again. It depends on like whether or not Handlocks becomes huge. Because I know there's like a huge upsurge in them recently. But I mean, it really depends.
So Brawl...
By the way, what is this... What is this fabled deck that beats Miracle Rogue?
A fabled deck that
fabled
beats Miracle
deck,
Rogue.
Wow.
Handlock does really well against Miracle Rogue. Aggro Hunter does sufficiently well.
Trap Hunter does well.
Yeah, Chanman was saying Trap Hunter does really well. That's about it.
Yeah,
I don't think that ramp actually beats Miracle. I know people say that, but I think that if you mulligan correctly and like with Froctionate and stuff like that, it's like not really that bad of a matchup. And that's like favorable for Miracle Rogue. Miracle Rogue's busted, alright. I'm gonna come out and say it. Conceal is stupid. Like, I don't know. They auctioneer and conceal, and then their turn is literally kill everything you have, draw infinity cards, and like hit you for 8 or something with this auctioneer, right? And then your turn has to be just answering the auctioneer because it takes so much mana to kill a 4 toughness guy, right? And and then they just like get to spam the board again the next turn. So it's like, I don't know, it's like really poor design, and there's so few classes that are actually able to uncover it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it has a lot of attributes of, you know, just some of the things that we've been seeing with UT, just Unleash the Hounds in the past and now, just with card drawing ability, recycling. I mean, that's where the power is, right? Just being able to outdraw your opponent and just give you so much power in your hand, more so than just killing them in one turn. And yeah, it would kind of follow suit if they were thinking about changing this too, I think. I don't know, Trump, what do you think about Miracle Rogue right now?
Yeah, it just feels like it's got, like, it doesn't win every time, but it feels like it's got a favorable matchup against most everything. I'd say the next big deck is the deck that counters the Miracle Rogue while still holding its own against most other things. So get cracking.
Get cracking.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think Shaman also does pretty fine against Miracle Rogue. That's what I've heard, at least. And also, it's been, like, one of my tougher matchups. But I think it might just be, like, in the Mulligan decisions. Because, like, if you know how to Mulligan correctly, it's what I found that most of the matchups were considered bad for Miracle Rogue before. Like, they actually turned up good.
Give us an example.
Well, the first one is obviously Warrior. like before, like, the most recent changes where they added, like, an Azure Drake and, like, a Loot Hoarder. Right. It's, like, everyone was like, yeah, Warrior crushes Miracle Rogue. Like, you can look back to Fight Night and see me versus Forza and stuff like that. It's like, he says it's a bad matchup. But then suddenly it changed with very, very, very limited changes to the deck that I don't believe affected it too greatly. I mean, in that matchup.
Mm-hmm. And it was purely mulliganing?
I can only assume that because... For some reason, they're crushing everyone now.
Right. Huh, okay,
but,
interesting.
A better example is, like, the Ramp Druid versus Miracle Rogue, where, like, if you keep Auctioneer and stuff like that, then you can't really lose. Like, because that's what has happened a lot. Like, people start keeping, like, SI7 Agent and Backstab, and you're like, yeah, these cards are great, and then they just run out of steam versus Druid, and Druid's like, all right, I do nothing for 4 turns, and then play a big taunt, and you're like, okay, let me use 3 cards to remove it now, because I've saved Backstab and SI7 Agent, which are, like, you know, in a box, they're good, but in this matchup, they're really not that strong. Like, Druid plays Harvard, like, if it's even midrange, like, the Druid
right.
can just,
there's
like,
no small minions at all.
And you're screwed, yeah.
Right.
It's like,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, Mulligan's like that. And also, like, another example of the Mulligan that, like, changes the matchups is, like, Aggro Hunter versus Aggro Warlock, where Aggro Warlock was really favored until Hunter's learned just a full Mulligan for Explosive Trap and Unleash the Hounds. And when they started doing that, the matchup started being, like, way in the Hunter's favor. Mm-hmm. But before that, it was, like, vastly in the Warlock's favor. It's, like, 65% or something. 60, yeah. It's about 65%.
Okay. Are there any, like, if you were to rank the, I guess, the strongest matchups, the top 3 matchups with this deck, and then the worst 3, what would they be?
The best matchups are Ramp Druid. Like, you just crush Ramp Druid.
Wow.
They do nothing for, like, 4 turns, and then, like, you play Azure Drake or something, and they have to answer it. They play a 4/6 taunt, then you just trade into it for free. And then, like, the next turn, they'll play, like, a whatever, Cairn, doesn't matter. And then you just kill that. Then you Gore Howl and kill 7 creatures with it, because they haven't put any pressure on you at all, so your life total is meaningless. Mm-hmm. And you just go ham with the axe. And they don't play any way to kill weapons. Like, I really think they should add Harrison Jones or something. Like,
yeah.
At OGN, that was one of the things that I told Sweets to add to his Ramp Druid list, because I knew that the Warrior list that I'd given Artosis was really favorable against Ramp Druid. So he added the second Big Game Hunter, and then the Harrison Jones was kind of like my idea. And a lot of people thought it was for Hamlock.
You're just setting Artosis up, man. You're giving Artosis this deck, and then the answer to the deck.
No. I was helping Artosis. Obviously, I'm not going to help him in the match against my teammate, but I was helping him in the match before. The court semifinals, I guess, versus
Gerard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Sabitz and Artosis were both playing my warrior deck, but, like, they never got to show it because they were so dominant in the tournament. And then Artosis finally audibled to aggro warrior because he was kind of, I mean, he knew Sabitz was a better player. He even said it himself. And he just kind of, like, wanted to just throw some aggression at him. And also, it's like, he said that's not his playstyle, so he was hoping that Sabitz wouldn't expect it. But we expected aggro lock and aggro, like, a whole bunch. We expected three aggro decks.
Right.
So it's, like, not bad. Well, two aggro decks and a controller. So.
Okay. Two other decks that's good against. Like, super good against. Crazy good against.
Crazy good against?
Yeah.
The mirror match. I don't know if that
the
counts.
Mirror matchup, yeah. Okay, cool.
But also aggro hunter. It's, like, really good against that. It's pretty much a hard counter.
And then you already mentioned the miracle.
Oh, shaman. It's really good. Like, it crushes shaman, man. Okay, oh. People start playing shaman again, just start playing... Play the warriorless.
Okay. Trump seems to have a comment on the shaman.
Really? I thought shaman was traditionally good against this warrior deck.
A lot of people always believed that until I kind of started showing people how to beat shaman. Like, once I added Brawl and Berengeddon, it just completely flipped the matchup on its head. Like, you just have too many ways to full clear their board, and they have no way to really pressure you at all, right? Because you're just arming up every single turn, and it's like, totem, 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 and you just don't do anything to hit the totems, and they're like, all right, Flame Tongue Totem, and you're like, kill the Flame Tongue Totem. And they're like, Fire Elemental, and you're like, kill the Fire Elemental. You have like five threats. And then your axe, like, always one for one's the wolves. So it's like, the board never really gets out of hand. Hmm. And, if you combine, like, you save one Whirlwind for Berengeddon, and then it's like a turn, it's a post turn 8 play, you know? And you Whirlwind and Berengeddon and clear the whole board. Or you can, like, on turn 10, you can Whirlwind Slam Berengeddon, and, like, you can even kill Fire Elemental like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you have so many ways to just completely flip, like, bad or terrible board states on its head, you know? And it gives you all the advantage back. And also, you just have really strong card draw. Like, the Azure Drakes are so incredible versus Shaman. Because, like, one of the things that kind of led me to adding Azure Drake was I always played against these, like, mid-range rogue, actually, tempo rogues and shamans, stuff like that. Whenever they Azure Drake and I kill it, I'm just like, crap, I just literally lost a card and they drew a card. This is like the worst case scenario right. For me. Like, their card replaced itself. So it's like, it was so frustrating that I was like, I'm just going to do that to these guys. But the Korkron's lead are also really strong because they just like run into the wolves and they're just left over. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah, I guess, Trump, you had a different experience with it? Because you played a lot of Shaman, right, last season? Or you had.
No, I mean, it's also true that this mentality carries over from the previous Warrior deck, the one that wasn't running the Korkruns, and I guess the Korkruns had a significant effect.
Oh, the older one beat Shaman, too.
Like, really? Okay.
All right, let's talk about
Yeah, I talked a lot to Dark Monix about this at Fight Night, and he agrees that warrior crushes shaman. Like, I don't know, we both are pretty adamant about that.
Have you talked to Savitz / Artosis about it? Since the last time I talked to Savitz about it, he was very convinced the shaman deck crushed the warrior deck.
No, but I don't know. I think the problem was that you warriors, like, they had to learn the matchup on their own rather than, like, facing against me playing warrior. And so, like, when I went to EU, like, the shamans just all got crushed, and so I don't really know. I don't understand where it comes from.
Master, exactly. So what do you mull for in that matchup?
You want an axe, and if you have Armorsmith and Cruel Taskmaster, you keep it. That's like your strongest opening.
Okay, so small minions and the axe. The axe, yeah, obviously, then, but yeah. Okay.
Card draw. Just card draw.
Okay.
You just try and really, really wait before you Brawl or Berengeddon. As long as possible.
Yeah.
And then your goal health kills seven things, so, you know, that's always nice.
Okay. Good stuff, man. Definitely good stuff. Let's see. Is there any other decks besides Miracle it's weak against? I mean, everybody's going to be playing this deck after watching this, I think. So.
Well, I don't think they're going to play it, right? Because it's more of like a tournament deck right now because of Miracle Rogue's dominance. But once the decks like aggro... Warrior, I'm not aggro warrior. Excuse me, exactly. Aggro warrior. Aggro warrior is actually pretty good against Miracle at the moment, I think. Like, aggro warrior, aggro hunter, handlock, all those decks do pretty, and shaman all do pretty well against Miracle Rogue. Mm-hmm. So when those decks start dominating the metagame, then you bust out the Warrior because Warrior kills all those decks.
And, gotcha.
Yeah. So just practice up on this and just wait.
Just wait. Exactly. Wait 2 weeks and then bust it out. Get the legend. There you go. All right. Any last thoughts, any last comments, Jeff, for Kit Kats on this deck?
Nope, it's a great deck.
Yeah.
You changed the metagame with it, and then the metagame started changing.
And then the metagame changed.
That's the biggest compliment, man, when the metagame changes because of your deck. That's good stuff, man. All right, well, why don't we take some questions now from the viewers, and we'll head on over to Reddit here. Whoops, let me change the topic real quick. Here we go. And all right, number one. All right, we already talked about the Warrior card already. And Kit Kats, why'd you leave Clarity? I think we already did that. Kit Kats, or just to all of us, how do you see the scene of professional Hearthstone developing? By professional, meaning teams where members actually get paid monthly salary, sponsorship money, etc. Kit Kats, why don't I let you answer that one first, given that you've just joined a team, and I mean you're definitely in that joining team and shopping for teams, that type of, you've done it recently, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what the scene needed to evolve, right? Was just like players that could be paid a salary so they could stop working and just like really focus on becoming better and really developing the scene, and also like just streaming a lot more. But when like all of your money doesn't come from like donations and crap like that, because playing ads on Twitch doesn't really pay a lot unless you know like you're Trump or something. But so like that's like solid salary that is like comes every month from a legitimate organization like Curse or like whatever future tunes that I can't say come up.
Yeah,
and like you can just actually become a professional player then, and that's just like really nice, really happy.
Are you doing this full time right now?
Yes, I just finished my last semester of undergraduate, and I start graduate school in the fall.
Okay.
So, like, 3 more months of just, like, hardcore Hearthstone, at least.
Good stuff. Trump, what do you think of the whole professional scene developing right now?
I mean, it's great. It's a testament to how deep this game is that the teams are developing such that the players can just spend more time on it, and it's, for such a simple game, it is really, really, really deep.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's great that the teams are developing. It means that the team managers have seen sponsors interested in this Hearthstone thing. They want to move in, and teams are striking while the iron is hot. This is good for pretty much everyone.
Yeah. It comes down to it. Sponsors care a lot about views, you know, and spreading their brand, and Hearthstone's generating a lot of views, so all the events that they've been doing recently has been anywhere from 20 to 40,000 concurrent, which is right on par with a lot of other esport games that we see right now, like StarCraft and other Call of Duty and those type of games too. So it's just growing, and there's good reason for it to grow, so I can't see it stopping anytime soon. Alright, Pity Nade. I think Pity Nade is how you pronounce that. Any thoughts on Gaara's Druid deck that was featured on King of the Hill recently? There were comments of how it was bad by some of the casters, but it clearly did well, trouncing everyone it faced. So I guess, right, who was it? Reynad and Barry, I think it was, like casting it, was calling it bad? What do you guys think of the Gaara deck? Kit Kats, I'll let you answer.
Okay, I think Gaara is a great player. And I'm not really certain about the Ramp Druid deck, at least, because I'm not really sure what all it's capable of beating. Like, Ramp Druid is really actually good at like, beating bad players and like, weaker players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, I don't know. I would like to see Gaara play it more, rather than, like, playing against people on the ladder, because they're, like, obviously new to the deck and just picking it up and understanding it and learning it.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's easy to crush those people, but to see a master of the deck play it is, like, would be a lot cooler.
Yeah, Trump?
My stance on the deck is just I think it's very solid and has a nice, like, 50% win rate against most everything. And higher just because you're a better player. That's all.
Sounds like standard druid decks throughout the all of Hearthstone meta. It's always been really, really good against everything. But his record is ridiculous, though. Gar's record in the last month, I think, with that deck, or even 3 weeks with that deck, has been insane, like 90% or something like that, at least in competitive play. So really, really crazy. All right, next question. Furrier, do you feel Blizzard is lagging behind the metagame? The nerf to UTH comes at a point where there's actually not that much hunters in the ladder, and pretty good counters have been figured out. Miracle Rogue with Farseers, as an example. So are they lagging, Trump? You kind of made a little bit of comment about this earlier, but...
Let's see. I'd need to look at their exact wording on it, but... I don't think they mentioned the unfun element as much as it's overpowered comment. But even if they specifically mentioned the overpowered and didn't touch so much on the unfun element, I think to some elements unfun and getting like knocking it down notch is good. And plus, it was probably like they've got all the stats, so they probably have the stats or show like hunters are this percent played and they win this percent, and it was a bit out of line. So. Yeah,
they talked a little bit about just the fact that Unleash the Hounds encourages not playing cards on the board, I think, in the post that when they announced the nerf to it. So I think, you know, unfun definitely plays a role in it, and even in their announcement there. Kit Kats, what do you think? Do you think they're lagging behind?
No, I really don't think they're lagging behind. Like I said earlier, I think they're nerfing cards too quickly and not letting the metagame actually adjust for it.
Yeah.
They should be waiting longer and seeing what we can actually accomplish on our own, rather than just changing things so drastically. And they've done it multiple times where the metagame was already, we already solved the problem, and then they just like nerf cards, and then those classes died forever, like mage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I think they should just take a little bit more time, and the metagame will fix itself, man.
Okay, Colds asks, what do you think of Tinkmaster and Nat Pagel nerf now that they have been in play for almost 2 months? Trump? Maybe talk about Arena some too, maybe.
Okay, well, Nat Pagel's, I have actually seen it every once in a while. It's still got its place. Like, suppose that Ramp Druid were like all the rage still, then Nat Pagel is probably good. And I think even against Control Warrior, Nat Pagel might be theoretically good. Tinkmaster is actually being tried out a bit, especially against Miracle Rogue. You just RNG the Gadgets and Auctioneer sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Or
nice.
Against a big control deck. Or even just toss it into your aggro deck, and you'll, on average, get a better thing. I think the Tinkmaster nerfs... both cards were nerfed mainly because they were making games too RNG. So,
yeah,
I support that.
Tinkmaster answered a Gadgetzan. That's, I didn't think about that. That's interesting. Okay. Kit Kats, what do you think? Is the nerf... Have you seen much of these two minions?
I haven't seen them since they've been nerfed. I guess like maybe in like the first week after, like people were trying Pega still. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, one guy... Like I played the Elite Hoarder, and I had one creature in play, and the guy just like YOLO Tinkmastered and turned my Armorsmith into a 5/5 dragon and conceded. So I was pretty pleased by that.
Okay.
But yeah, those cards aren't really that great anymore.
All right. El Burrito asks, what's your opinion about Murloc decks? Are there any other classes that are good with Murloc except for Warlock? I don't know. I don't think I've seen any. I mean, I don't know. Has Murloc changed in any way for you guys, Trump?
Yeah, it's somewhat interesting. I don't think I've played against like one Murloc deck out of a few hundred games. Seems to just be less good than Zoo. Gets killed by Whirlwind and Phantom Knives, and yeah.
Okay. Kit Kats, anything about Murloc decks?
Murloc sucks, man. it's good though, because that deck was like so annoying to play with. Like its explosive power,
yeah,
it's just like, it's crazy. You can kill you on like turn four and crap. OP.
Wait, what? I'm a little curious. Why did it die? Like it used to be really, really popular for a moment.
I think it's never been strong against Warrior, and I think people just like started building like like the rogue decks and stuff like that. I'm not really sure. I think rogue like crushes reluctantly badly.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I think that's but, probably true. But watch your back, because sometimes when a deck disappears and you don't know the reason, you might see it back a few times.
That's true.
That's actually really true. And I should be thinking about things like that more.
Yeah. No, but Trump has a point, because it, for a while, Murloc was making a comeback, and it was making a comeback more from the standpoint of a board control, like Murloc, some additions to it that were different than the crazy aggro version before. Yeah, it'll be a trip if we see Murlocs becoming crazy prevalent again in the meta. Morai asks, with the rise of the Miracle Rogan ladder, is Snipe a viable counter for Hunters to kill the Auctioneer? It doesn't do... I don't know. It might be.
Yeah. Actually, it's one of the newest changes of the aggro Hunter decks. They've been adding like one Snipe. Mm. And then they just try and predict whenever the Auctioneer is going to be played and just like YOLO it out there. Pray.
Yeah. Interesting. Trump, have you seen that at all?
Oh, yeah, I've seen Snipe player a few times. Fortunately, I wasn't playing the Miracle Rogue, but Snipe's going to get value. Like, you mm-hmm. can only hit Earthen Ring Farseer, Azure Drake, or Cadensand, and they're all really good targets. I guess you can hit SA7's even good. And you can hit the Van Cleef, which is probably the only bad target to hit.
Yeah. And it'll give you another durability on the bow, because usually playing traps after the bow, too, so it definitely adds value there, too.
I mean, Snipe is, while it's good against Miracle Rogue, it's quite terrible against a lot of decks.
Hmm. Yeah, Zoo and just any kind of aggro decks with small minions, definitely.
Rages, Grommash, what a great card.
Oh, God, that would suck. That would suck so bad. You'd have to have like at least two traps lined up freezing in this direction or something.
Oh, right, and even with the Miracle Rogues, like sometimes they throw a Loot Hoarder into it and then you cry.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I think the Loot Hoarders have been kind of decreasing. Like, I know that first they're running two, and then they're running one, and I'm not sure if they run any anymore. Some lists do, and some lists don't. They've been favoring, like, the second Cold Blood, or, like, the second Conceal, and things like that. So it's, like, really interesting.
Blue 2 has a question about the new card. He says, how do you think the new Warrior card Death's Bite will affect both aggro and control archetypes? Will two Armorsmiths, two Acolytes be the standard upon release? Or would this be a detriment to control as it has little wiggle room right now? Two caps?
I'm sorry, what card?
The new card, the new Warrior card. Basically, how do you think it will affect both the aggro and control archetypes? And he specifically asks, will two Armorsmith and two Acolytes be standard upon release? Or would this be a detriment to control as it has little wiggle room?
Okay, no, I mean, it's a great control card. Like, it gives you so much power. Like, after you establish it and just kill something, like, you kill a Flood Hardwood or whatever, and the next turn you can actually just, like, load the board up with your little guys that actually proc off damage, you know, Armorsmith or Acolyte. Like, it gives you so much tempo. And then it kills, like, a Chilling Raider the next turn or whatever. It's like, it does a lot. And I don't know, that's really good. It's a really good control card. I'm not really sure on how great of an aggro card it is. I guess if it's like aggro warrior,
yeah,
like with like all charge minions, and then like they have to trade in your creatures, and then like you're just doing whirlwinds for free. But the whirlwind doesn't really serve a purpose. And it's like, why wouldn't you just play Arcanine for them?
Well, I mean, you could have a bunch of enraging units, like
berserkers
and stuff like that, right?
My god, I see it now.
Play him, man.
Turn 5, hit him for 4, next turn you like Worgen, charge, and then break the weapon.
Oh man, that's pretty cool actually. That could be really, really good for aggro warrior, or combo warrior, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Thoughts, Trump? Anything to add to, I guess, that question?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like, just the value of the card alone. A 4-mana, 4-damage weapon, that itself is pretty good. And the added benefit, like, you get a free whirlwind. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. You're going to see at least one of it in most decks, and I think that's pretty much what I can say about that right now.
Okay. Let's see. Skalarian, he asks, hey guys, I just love playing Control Warrior, but I feel when playing Kit Kat's deck versus other Control decks, I sometimes miss a sort of late-game win condition like Ysera. Have you updated your deck by any chance since it was posted last? I don't think we looked at the most frequent update. And have you made any changes that tend more towards the meta at the moment since it's moving away from Hunters a bit? So obviously we talked a little bit about that, but what are your thoughts on just not having, I guess, the late-game condition like a Ysera? Like we've seen
Ysera's
in the past.
Actually never been good in Warrior.
Like, okay.
From the moment that, I guess, Murray added it, such as, like, late-game Legend Warrior, I don't even know what to call it, but like, it just plays, like, a Legendary from turn 5 right. to turn 10 and does something. But, like, even in that deck, like, it wasn't good. Ysera wasn't good. And since then, the metagame's, like, always sped up, and it's even worse now. It's, like, never a good card to play. Unless it's, like, on a completely empty board where you already have board control and health and you don't need to armor. It's like, it's only good when you're already winning and you don't need a card like that. In the Warrior versus Warrior mirror, Ysera is not good at all. Like, I know people are always like, I add it because I just like having more threats. But what ends up happening when I play Warrior is that I just end up racing and I put a lot of pressure. I mulligan for creatures like the Korkrons and the Cruel Taskmasters and the Armorsmiths and the Acolytes, and I just go aggressive on them. And what ends up happening is that by the time they get to like turn 9 and stuff, to where they can actually like establish a Ysera on the board, like they're so low that if they do not armor, I'm gonna kill them with Grommash and Rage and the weapon, you know. And so, what it's like, when are you gonna play this card in that matchup, in a control matchup? And even versus like Druid, and, against Druid it's fine, but against mid range Druid it's terrible. But and you already beat Ram Druid, so you don't need it. And,
Okay.
It's just not very good thing.
Yeah. Definitely good points. Trump, anything to add?
It's a pretty good cover of it. I think Ysera is good only if you're playing against slow decks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why don't we take a couple more here and then we can call it a day? Let's find a fun question here. Let's see. All right, actually, Wadamote asks, how do you counter BM, please? What's the best way to counter BM on the ladder? Kit Kats. Well, actually, first off, do you actually add people who add you on a friends list right after a game? Does that happen commonly so that you can hear what they're going to say to you?
I mean, if I get like a sick top deck or something, I'll throw them the ad, man. They can rage a little bit. Like, you're terrible, and I disagree with them. Like, yeah, I know. Like, I have a lot to work on. But I mean, like, it never bothers me when people say I'm bad because like all of us always make mistakes. Like, even the Kalento or Seeds, you know, like, everyone is the game's too new and no one plays perfectly.
Right. Right. Okay. So countering BM, like, what do you do when somebody waits till the end of the rope and everything and crap like that?
I don't know if you guys have seen the most recent Fight Night with me versus Forsen, but there is a game where he plays Rogue and gives the sickest BM ever, dude. It's like he plays 8 cards from his hand or something when he had lethal. Like, he plays Leroy and Shadow Steps it back to his hand, not even attacking. It was awesome. And at the end of the game, like, I just clap for him because, like, to me, that's hilarious, man. Like, I think BM is funny. Like, if you look to StarCraft and you see, like, Firebat Hero and, like, his awesome ceremonies where he's, like, running around the, like, Busan and, like, with the inner tube and stuff. Like, you know, it's all meant to be fun. Like, none of the players really hate each other. We're all friends, you know. It's just, like, we're just kind of teasing to put on a good show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just take it lightly. It's, like, you know, who cares?
So clap. Because you're... Just clap and
just clap for him, man. Trump. Be happy that they're happy.
Trump, you got any anti-BM methods up
your sleeve? Yeah, the best anti-BM method is don't get bothered by it. It's,
there you go.
I mean, they've decided to waste 30 seconds of your life. You can choose if you think they have it and they're just like slow rolling. You can choose to concede or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably the best bit of advice right there. All right, one last question. Okay, there's a question about Handlock. So, Neo's Hero asks, I enjoy playing Handlock, but it feels rather rough right now. Do you guys have any tips? I guess any tips for maybe changing the deck or modifications you can think of? Trump will let you take... Okay. KitKat.
I don't know how I'm not going to impede on that. Go ahead, Trump.
Any suggestions on maybe... Well, actually, what do you think of Hamlock right now? And then maybe any suggestions on improving it?
Yeah, if it's good against Miracle Rogue, then it's probably a deck that you should consider playing right now. I don't have much experience about it.
Okay, KitKats?
I think if you're having trouble with Hamlock, maybe just follow the old advice of Mulligan everything for Drake and Mountain Giant. Success rate drastically rises if you turn for one of those bad boys.
So do you think the state of Hamlock is good right now?
I think it's great. Like, Miracle Rogue's such the dominant deck, and Hamlock does extremely well against it. Like, you put so much pressure on them with a Drake or a Mountain Giant on turn four that it's almost impossible for Miracle Rogue to come back unless they have, like, a whole bunch of creatures and then they start racing you, and then you don't have taunts or something like that, or heal. So I think it's, like, a really good place for it.
So I've been hearing about people trying, you know, different minions, kind of throwing them in the traditional Hamlock. Things like maybe even Karen and stuff like that. Have you heard of anything or thought of anything that might be kind of cool in that regard? You know, kind of like what you did with Azure Drake and Korokon with Warrior.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest things that happened back when Warrior was the absolute most dominant class, was that Hamlock started playing Karen and, like, Ragnaros. Mm-hmm. And so they just had, like, way more threats than you could actually kill, you know, sufficiently.
Right.
But then... I don't think they had enough experience with the cards to make them useful, but I think, like, a great Hamlock player like Sidibs or Tides of Time, you know, one of those players would just, like, if they were playing those cards, like, they would probably crush my Warrior deck. But there's a place for that, but it's not in an environment with this Rogue being so crazy.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll start seeing a lot more Hamlock. I've already seen some Hamlock the last 2 days, I have to say, more so. Than last season and early this season too. So it'll be pretty cool to see, but why don't we wrap the show? It's great having you on, KitKats. Man, some serious Warrior knowledge bombs. That's exactly why I wanted to have you on today.
But, thanks, Charlie.
Yeah, you want to do some shout-outs? Thank yous?
Oh, yeah. To our sponsors, Alienware, Cooler Master, and Energent, and of course, my teammates, Alchemist, Sigmunds, and Dark Onyx. I love you all. And thank you for having me. And it was wonderful speaking with you, Trump.
Awesome. Trump, you got any shout-outs you want to do?
Let's see. Oh, I can't really think of many this week. I'll be streaming right after. Be sure to check me out.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. For me, just a big shout out to you guys for coming on the show. Trump obviously doing this with me every week. And the VODs, guys, will be up on youtube.com/ChamMV probably in about 20 minutes or so. I know a lot of people are watching All Stars. One of the questions also was when it'd be up. So expect it in about 20 minutes there. I'll post it. I'll tweet it, all that good stuff. Follow us all on Twitter at ChamMV, at TrumpSC, and at CRS, I curse, right? CRS KitKats. A good place to find out just about everything we're doing. And one announcement too. So Deck Wars, you know, the Showmatch series I do every Friday, won't have one this week, but we're going to actually have the finals next weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We're going to have all the winners of the first 12 Deck Wars kind of battling it out for a nice prize in a tournament, you know, tournament setting. So Kungan, Monk, Borsen, Admirable, Chalky, Alchemist, lots of folks. So definitely check that out, and I'll fill you guys in more with details on whether it's Reddit or Twitter and all that good stuff. But that's going to be it, guys, for Valuetown this week. So we will see you next week. Later.